Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just invite you this moment by your Spirit to come and speak to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Who then is this servant this passage talks about? The New Testament made it clearer that the person talked about here is Jesus Christ. We'll be reading couples of passages from the Bible. I hope you'll permit me today. Aware of engaging ourselves more. Let's have a look at Mark Gospel chapter 1 verse 10 and 11 from our reading this morning. Mark Gospel chapter 1, 10 and 11, I read. As Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So, it's clear that Jesus was the person spoken about. Well, we know too well that this event took place at his baptism. Now, going back to Isaiah 42, where we read in our first reading, the ending of that verse points out that the mission that Christ was commissioned to fulfill is to bring justice to the nations. Justice is about fairness, conformity to moral rightness in action, and in biblical term, righteousness. While injustice is the reverse. Injustice, I believe, was given birth to when the perfect world God created was contaminated at the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. It moved on even to the era in which Jesus Christ was born. Bible tells us that Herod, who was the local ruler at the time, initiated a massacre of all the male Jewish children because he heard about the birth of a new king. And he felt that his position as the king would be threatened. That was why Joseph had to flee with Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt. You can imagine the level of inhuman act even meted on children at that time. So God felt the need to send his son Jesus Christ to restore righteousness to nations. In the following verses, he stated how he will make this happen. Let us read verses 2 and 4 of that same Isaiah. Isaiah 42, verse 2 and 4, to 4. Isaiah 42, verse 2 to 4. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. The above verses shows that this servant by nature will act without violence. Not even the sound of his voice will be heard. He portrays a decent personality. Through his own devoted exemplary life and teaching, he will establish justice. Even lonely places of the earth will find hope in his precepts. If we look at the end of that verse 4, where it says, in his law the islands will put their hope. He goes on in verse 6 saying that he was called in righteousness to bring light to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are non-Jews. They are not among the covenanted people of God. So he will establish a relationship with the Gentiles, and through him they will come to know God. The result of this new covenant will be healing in a holistic sense. That is why verse 7 says, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release the dungeons those who sit in darkness. To release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. Jesus, during his baptism, received this great message of restoration of the fallen world. And he commissioned his disciples before going back to the Father to continue until his second coming. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That which he commanded them to teach was the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The teaching of the life and the work of Jesus Christ. The work of establishing justice or fairness in a fallen world. Through baptism, we have been made part of his family. And as stated in verse 6, Jesus has been made a covenant for us, and his light is now in us. He's been made a covenant for us, and his light is in us. Bible called us who are made alive through baptism as the light of the world. A town built on a hill which cannot be hidden. So we are part of this great commission. The task of rebuilding the fallen world. In our world today, there is still injustice in different areas of life. Many people are being denied the right of existence. For example, recently in Libya, it is heartbreaking seeing the traumatic video of enslavement and death people suffer in that land, especially migrants who were unfortunate to find themselves there. I must have to emphasize this. I got through the clips on the internet. I felt bad. It's not only in Libya. There are people who are suffering what we don't know, what we can't imagine, and their voice are not heard. Some people working in our communities are not treated fairly. There is injustice around us and in the world as a whole. The question we should ask ourselves, how are we still participating in this great mission that we are part of through baptism as Christians? Are we still engaging in evangelism? That is telling others about the love of Christ? Do our lives reflect the life and the teaching of Christ? Do we make it our responsibility, praying for the kingdom of God to be established on earth? If majority of the world population will come to the knowledge of the truth and grow in that, inhuman activities will certainly reduce. So our engagement in the mission of Christ should be imperative for us as Christians. The five marks of mission according to the Anglican Consultative Council 1984, which I will mention now, equally encapsulate all these that has been emphasized. We are Anglican. This is our understanding of mission. Let us have a quick look. Number one says, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Number two, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. Number three, to respond to human need by loving services. Number four, to transform unjust structures of society, challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation. It's a bit interesting, and I'll go back to it again. To transform unjust structures of society, challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation. And number five, to strive to safeguard the integrity of the earth. Well stated. But how well do we implement this? These five marks calls for the participation of every Christian as representatives of Christ on earth. As Teresa Avila stated, I quote, Christ has nobody now but yours. Christ doesn't have anybody on earth here again but our own body. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Your eyes are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do well. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has nobody now on earth but yours. As we continue with our preparation in Advent for the celebration of the coming nativity of the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas, let us bear in mind, in the midst of all these preparations, the purpose of his birth and our own calling in him. Remember, Christ has nobody now on earth but yours and mine. Let us pray. Lord, we need your grace. Lord, we need your grace. Open our eyes to those little things you want us to do, that we go a long way transforming the world where we find ourselves. Go beyond that and touch people in authorities to see beyond their confines and see the needs of the poor and the marginalized. Equip your church. Revisit them once again, even as we prepare to celebrate your birth. Reminds us of our purpose here on earth, to restore the fallen world and to make the realities of your kingdom visible on earth. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.